All right, welcome everyone. Akasha here from Bliss Life Global Healing Energy Series, Energy Medicine Series. And this is our final interview. This is really a special treat. This is definitely a cherry on top of the sundae, both for a couple of reasons. My guest today, Deborah Poneman, was one of the original founders, really, of bringing spirituality, mixing it with self-help, and having seminars all the way back in the 70s and early 80s. And what we have is she's left the field to live her life and come back, and then got off on other adventures and come back. And so we're really blessed to be right here at the launch of her coming back into her very, very, very long-term, very successful program, Yes to Success. Thank you so much for being here, Deborah.
Thank you. It's so good to be with you. You remember one of my incarnations like 7, 8 years ago where I was interviewing people. I can't even remember the name of that show, Life Without Limits or something.
Yes, that's right.
Was that it? And I interviewed you, and now you're interviewing me, and it's just so yummy to come full circle. I love it.
It is. It was just an awesome, awesome experience. And so I'm so glad that you're coming back and you're sharing your stuff. So I'm going to read a little bit because Deborah has a stunning bio here, and I want you to get set up, and then we're going to flow and have all kinds of amazing stories, and she's going to lead you in a process and everything. So our topic today is creating a spiritual basis to living your ultimate success. And what I love is we're going to discuss, well, what is your definition of success and what is ultimate success? And like you said before we started, it's probably not what you're thinking. And so I love that. So Deborah began transforming lives in the 70s, and she spent a year studying at the feet of the masters, meditating 10 to 12 hours a day. Oh boy, you're a girl after my heart. And in the 80s, immersed herself in the knowledge and wisdom of the masters of Western metaphysical thought and founded the Yes to Success seminars. Now, these seminars before the internet, it's always funny to think about that. Like, hey, I did this back in the caveman days before the internet. There was no fax machine or whatever. before the internet, these seminars were taught on 6 continents and dozens of U.S. cities, and graduates, many of them are famous people that you know, became mega successful entrepreneurs, New York Times bestsellers, Deepak Chopra, Marcy Shymoff, Janet Atwood of The Passion Test, and many others. And this is why they call Deborah the mentor to the mentors. And I'm going to just read one more thing here, is that Deborah's a master at teaching people how to achieve true and lasting success. And I think most of us know that we've had success, but the lasting part, kind of the part that's been missing, right? Is up and down and up and out and in and out. And that's fine. That's life. But she goes far beyond what you would learn elsewhere, helping you tap into the greatest part of yourself and equips you with the tools to achieve your heart's truest desires. Her profound wisdom has expanded my mind, opened my heart, and transformed my life. And that's from Judy Miller, a financial analyst. So welcome, welcome, Deborah. I'm so glad you're here.
I'm so glad to be here. I remember when I had my show, you were one of my favorites. I told you that. I interviewed like hundreds of people, and I just remember you thinking, I love that woman. She's brilliant. I love what you offered. And here we are together again.
Yes. Thank you so much. So let's go into, okay, what was the Yes to Success like for you and back then and now again, relaunching this again and updated and everything. So what happened in your life? What were some of those triggers or deconstructions that happened that led you to meditating and then to wanting to share what you've learned with other people?
All right. Well, I'll start at the beginning. I won't start at the beginning, like the day I was born, but I'll start when I was, it was in the late 60s, early 70s, and meditation was just getting big. And Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, who was the guru to the Beatles and the Beach Boys and Donovan and all of that, he was like splashing across the airwaves. And I decided I wanted to learn TM. And I learned TM and I loved it. And I decided to become a TM teacher. That was in the early 70s. And I taught, I mean, at least 1,000 people, because it was that big wave. And I was a full-time TM teacher. And then when we started our university, Maharishi International University in Fairfield, Iowa, I went there as the director of admissions. And as you said in my introduction, back then we used to go on courses for 6 months at a time where we would meditate literally 10 to 12 hours a day. We would be in silence for weeks at a time. Now I can't be in silence for minutes at a time, but back then, literally weeks at a time. I mean, the first 12 days of every year, we are always in silence. And I love doing that. I love teaching meditation. I love living in this meditation community. But the end of the decade of the 70s, I realized that woman does not live by mantra alone. And I needed some money because it was a nonprofit, right? And I needed health insurance. I needed car insurance. It actually would have been nice to have a car to insure. So I thought, okay, how do people make money? And I looked around. I thought, oh, the people in Los Angeles, they look like they're really rich. So I left the meditation community I was living in Iowa, and I moved to Los Angeles, and I started selling investments. I was a dismal failure, but you know that expression that we make plans and God laughs. Well, God had a big laugh over thinking that I was going to make a lot of money selling investments. But also, we often do something for a reason. We think it's one reason, and then the real reason reveals itself. So I thought I went there to make money, but one night, one of my friends at the company I was working for, Dudley Financial Group, asked me if I wanted to go to a money seminar. And I thought it was going to be on like stocks and bonds, something that was going to help me be better at what I was doing. I walk in, it's at the Learning Annex, and it was not the suits. It was the New Age crowd. And this is 1980. And the guy was talking about the law of attraction. And what he said was that our thoughts create a reality. And he said that no matter what your current situation is, if you're broke, don't talk about it. Talk about the vision of what your life is going to be when you're successful and prosperous, that you look at the beautiful house you're going to live in, put up a picture of the beautiful Mercedes that you're going to be driving. And I'm like, whoa. And he said that, but if you're always talking about how broke you are and how poor you are and the economy this and the world this, you vibrate in that way. And the only thing you can vibrate back into your experience is lack and limitation. Okay. And he said so many other things that just struck me. He said, one of the quickest ways to become wealthy and successful is to help other people become wealthy and successful, because what you put out will always come back to you, but always. And you could do it by mentoring them, by investing, just supporting them with encouragement. Anyway, I'm listening to this. Every cell in my body is vibrating. And I knew at that moment why I came to LA. It was because I was supposed to hear that lecture, because I knew what I was going to do the rest of my life. So went home next morning, quit my job. People, you quit your job. Well, remember, I hadn't sold one investment, so I'm no kind of hero, but I quit my job and I immersed myself into the knowledge of all of the great masters of success and prosperity, of metaphysics and science of mind and church of religious science and Emmett Fox and Florence Scovel Shinn and Napoleon Hill. And for months, I just devoured all, because I found out that there was this whole body of knowledge of how to create your ultimately successful life. And the great masters had put it all into books. I mean, back then I had to go to the library and find it, like on microfiche. Remember microfiche?
Yes.
There were no computers.
Oh my gosh.
And reel to reel cassettes. I mean, it was crazy. But after about 6 months, I put together an incredible seminar, and I used the techniques that I was learning to create my success. Like, don't wait until you think you're ready, because you will never think you're ready. Just take a step from which there is no turning back. And I mean, Nan, think about it. I was 20 something years old. I did go to teacher training when I was 19. So I was 20 something years old. I drove a beat up old Chevy Bel Air that my aunt had left me when she died. My only degree was from Maharishi International University in the science of creative intelligence. And I was flat out broke. And I was going to start a seminar company teaching people how to be successful. But one of the things that I learned from these masters is that an idea comes to you because you're supposed to manifest it. It's like the creator, the God of your understanding, whispers in your ear. It's like the creator looks and thinks, okay, Nan is a worthy vehicle for this. Deborah is a worthy vehicle for this. Somebody else, he needs to start a gluten-free bakery. Another, she, God wants to start an acupuncture school. Looks for a worthy vehicle, whispers it in your ear, but you have to get going on it. The idea came to you, but I know people who are listening have all had the experience where they had a great idea, didn't do anything about it. Somebody else does, and they're like, that was my idea. Well, guess what? God gave you first dibs. You didn't do anything about it. But God needed it manifested in the world at that time. So he had to go to a second stringer. So, you know, sorry. So I had the idea to start the success seminar company. And what I did was when I got filled with fear, like, who am I to do this? I just took a step from which there was no turning back. For me, it was putting up posters, renting a room and putting up posters. Once the posters went up, I had to do it. Even though as soon as the posters went up, the discouragement committee showed up. And those are all the people who told me, this is crazy. Nobody's going to come to this. This is ridiculous. Your mind creates your reality. They look at my poster like the power of your mind. And I mean, it was what, 20 years, more than 20 years before the 27 years before The Secret. But because I had already taken that step from which there's no turning back and put up the posters, I had to give the presentation. And when I went to the Santa Monica Public Library, they were standing room only. So obviously somebody wanted to learn how to create your reality by harnessing the power of your mind. And the rest was history. Within a few short years, my seminars were being taught all over the world on almost every continent, 7 countries, 12 major US cities. And all of the people that you mentioned were, I mean, Deepak was an endocrinologist and Phil Town was, I think he was, I don't know what he was doing, but he ended up coming. He is now a multiple time New York Times bestselling author. Marcy Shimoff, who is the number one female nonfiction female author of all times, came to my seminar and afterwards came up to me, I want to work for you. I want to work for you. And I said, well, but didn't you just say that you are in college? And maybe your parents might not be that excited about this. She goes, I don't care. I don't care. I'm going to quit college. And she became my personal assistant. And then she went on. Actually, her first speaking engagement was when I got sick and I made her go do a whole weekend seminar. And she got the speaking bug. And now she's one of the most successful women speakers in the country. So anyway, take a step from which there's no turning back. And it's whispered in your ear because you're supposed to manifest it. And don't go like, oh, but so many people already teach success or teach happiness or have a podcast or, you know what? Yes, that's true. And it has nothing to do with you. There are people who incarnated because you are supposed to be their teacher. And there could be 1,000 other people teaching success, but there are people who are on this planet because you are their teacher and they're waiting patiently for you to get your act together and do what you know you should be doing with your life.
Yeah, I love that. I love the way you put that. Absolutely. And that's such a profound change now from when you were talking about starting and when I had my first breakdown, which was before internet and, you know, to try to find something at a bookstore and all this craziness, right? To now it's almost just like overload, you know, self-help overload. And it's trying to figure out which one is right for you. And so I like that point that it doesn't matter if you feel you're meant to do something and someone else is doing it already, or when you go to look for your teacher or for your path, listen within, because not everybody is the right teacher, even if they're talking the way that you're talking, right?
Yes. And also have gratitude when your students come. You know, you're not going to be, you're not going to go, most people will not go from zero to thousands of students overnight. But I remember Barbara DeAngelis, you know, she wrote, she used to be married to John Gray, and she wrote Secrets About Men Every Woman Should Know and a lot of other New York Times bestsellers. And she had been married to John Gray for many years. And I was in an event with her. And no, actually, I wasn't at this particular event, but she was telling me, somebody else told me the story about how John, after they were divorced, was up on the stage. And when he was done, you know, the hordes ran back to the room. You know, you run in the back of the room and sign up, you know, do it now or else you'll lose this opportunity. Like, right. And then when Barbara gave her talk, just a handful of people ran to the back of the room. And so I said to her, I said, how did you feel when only like 10 people came to the back of the room? And she said, how did I feel? I felt so much gratitude in my heart that it was overwhelming that 10 people found their teacher. So if you do a presentation or online and 5 people show up or 10 people show up, be filled with gratitude that those people found you, because they've probably been waiting many lifetimes to find you.
That's so beautiful. So beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. Well, so let's dive into success. You know, most people think automatically, because it's kind of hundreds of years now, we've really defined success by money, status, house, car, whatever, you know, this kind of thing. It hasn't been, are you living your purpose? Are you listening to your heart? Are you following your what you're meant to do here for everybody and all those people that are waiting for you? So share with us about that. What's the difference between success and what you thought, and what it really is, ultimate success?
All right. Well, I have a lot to say about that. But first, I'll start out by saying that if you look at the dictionary definition of success, you'll always find some variation of, you know, the attainment of something, money, material possessions, fame, power. And you and I both, and everybody listening, know that in the world we live in today, that definition of success is as outdated as your prom dress. And it's probably pretty outdated, mine is. But our society as a whole has begun, for the most part, to no longer believe that success has to do with fame or fortune. Arianna Huffington, one of my heroes, said in her 2018 book called Thrive, that after she interviewed hundreds of the most successful people in the world, she determined that success to most is defined by what she calls the third metric, which is a measurement that goes beyond money and power and instead measures success by a deep sense of well-being. It measures success by how much wisdom you gain, how much true happiness you have, and of course, how much you give, which is more now than ever, that is a metric of success. And Maya Angelou, who recently passed away at the age of 86, one of my favorite definitions of success is what she says, that success is liking yourself, liking what you do, and liking how you do it. So I believe that success has to do with all of those things, but here's my number one definition of success. I believe that success has to do with having a purpose in life. It's having a goal or a vision or a dream that lights you up, something that makes you want to spring out of bed in the morning. Success to me doesn't necessarily even have to do with achieving that goal or that dream, but it's just picking something that's worthy of you, that uses your God-given talents, that makes your heart sing, and start moving towards it. The late, great Earl Nightingale, one of the other fathers of New Thought, said success is the progressive realization of a worthy idea or goal. In other words, success is a journey. It's not a destination, because if we define success by the moment of achievement, then if you think about it, we would be living these sorry lives waiting for that moment to arrive. We win the Nobel Prize, we get the big promotion, we, you know, buy the house on the hill. And then we probably experience a little bit of a letdown, because in fact, research has shown that when people achieve something they believe was going to make them feel successful, like a best-selling book or a part in a movie or a big promotion, 80% said that after they achieved it, they felt either disappointed or even sank into depression, because the thrill of the journey was over. Okay. So, actually, I just thought of this. I want to share with you this story about Marcy. You know, we talked about Marcy Shymoff, who was one of my students, then became my partner. And she tells such a great story that illustrates this. And what it is that her whole life, she always wanted to be an author. She wanted to be a rock star author, and she wanted to speak in front of big crowds. That was her dream. And she was so focused on the dream that she forgot to enjoy herself on the way to the dream. She forgot to celebrate the little successes along the way. If I get a big client, or I have, like when I found the wonderful Alan Davidson, who was one of your guests, who's the launch manager for my launch, we celebrate, you know, we start every team call by what can we celebrate this week in our lives and our business. But Marcy was just focused, because she felt, and she always talks about how she was a really unhappy camper her whole life, but she thought if she could become a author rock star, then that emptiness, the pain inside, would go away. And she achieved it. Her book, Chicken Soup for the Woman's Soul, soared to the top of the bestseller list, and she tells about the day that she was speaking in front of a group of 5,000 people at the Hyatt Hotel in Chicago. And afterwards, she had to sign 3,000 books. They had to have a hand massager there to massage her hands to sign. Can you imagine signing 3,000 books?
Oh, my gosh.
People congratulating her. Everything that she dreamed about had just unfolded in front of her. And she tells a story that she went upstairs when it was all over and she had signed the last book to her room, which happened to be the presidential suite. And she looked at the panoramic view of Chicago and she just fell onto the bed in a crumpled heap and sobbed, because she still felt so empty inside. The reason why I tell that story, and I love it, because I always say to her, I know, but then you got up and like Scarlett O'Hara and Gone with the Wind, I will never be hungry again. Marcy got up and she said, I am going to figure out what true happiness is. And you know, she wrote the book Happy for No Reason. And And it was based on that experience of realizing that no gain in that way is going to bring you the happiness inside. You have to really every single day of your life, you have to celebrate and you have to appreciate the little wins. And what, you know, it sounds so trite, oh, appreciate what you do have in your life, but what you appreciate appreciates. So if you have a 10-year-old beat up Chevy Bel Air like I did, I didn't, you know, disdain my car. I loved my car. My car even had a name. Her name was Shirley. And I got my car and I thank Shirley every day for getting me where I want to go. And that appreciation, plus using the principles that I now teach, that I had studied from those great masters, within a few years, I was driving a beautiful navy blue Mercedes. But I didn't, you know, say anything bad about, like, why can't I have this? I loved Shirley. What we appreciate appreciates.
Yeah. So that's a really good point. What do you have to help people with that sense of impatience, also sense of tying their success at creating their reality to a particular goal in a particular way? I know I've been up and down the hills so many times that the best thing is, like you said, move towards a feeling, but be like, I don't really know what this is going to be, but I'm going to go forward, see what comes next. But that desire disappointment loop, you know, where people get in, I want this, and then, oh, it's never good enough, and it's not enough, and they get stuck in that.
Well, I'll tell you why people get stuck in it, and then I'll give you energy medicine. Why people get stuck in it is because we compare, and comparison is the kiss of death. There's a story in Kabbalah, you know, the Jewish mystical text, where Rabbi Zusha says, when I die, God isn't going to say to me, why were you not more like Abraham? Why were you not more like Moses? God will only say to me, why were you not more like Zusha? And so that's the thing. We forget the uniqueness that we were created as. And what we do is we try to be like somebody else. And then we're disappointed because we don't reach their level of success. It goes back to, again, not comparing and not only appreciating what you have, but I absolutely can tell you that if you want success, wish success and happiness for other people. It is one of the best pieces of energy medicine. And the harder it is to wish somebody success and prosperity, the greater the success will be when you do. I mean, it's easy to wish success and prosperity to the down and out person on, you know, household makeover, whatever they call that, where they find the people who are down and out and then they build them a new house. Oh, yes. But it's really hard to wish, or, you know, somebody who you see on the TV who finds the love of their life at 85 and you're so, oh, it's so wonderful. But it's a little bit harder when your friend is on their fourth husband and you would like to be on number one. But if you can wish them success and prosperity, if you can open your heart, one of the things that I say is start out with baby steps. You could just be sitting on the beach, like your beautiful beach, or outside your house, which is so stunning. But if you can just walk down the street or walk along the beach and just send love to the hearts of strangers, I wish you happiness. I wish you all success. I wish you prosperity. I wish you a great life. Energetically, we know as we sow, it has to be so shall we reap. Every single scripture, every single energetic teacher says the same thing. And again, if you could wish that success and prosperity or love to people that it's really hard to do it for, the return is going to be exponential for you. So that's something that people can do, but don't compare, because here's the thing, Nan. I mean, we got to get real here. In this age of social media, people only put on their Facebooks what they want you to see. So we live this delusion that everybody has these perfect lives. I mean, hey, my daughter's a chiropractor. Of course, when she passed her chiropractic exam, her boards with flying colors, she didn't have to take any of them over, and she got a great job. She's a chiropractor, a network chiropractor in Issaquah, outside of Seattle. And of course, I posted that on my website, on my Facebook page. You better believe it. Did I post on my website when she was in an eating disorder clinic for a month? Like, no, right? Or my son, he started a nonprofit. He's raised over $50 million in college scholarship money for people in the inner city of Chicago. Of course I post about his nonprofit, Chop in the Dark Foundation. Did I post about when he found himself in the Atlanta airport so drunk that he didn't know where he was? You know, we don't post that stuff. So we live this delusion, and people, I'm sure they look at my Facebook page and think, oh, Deborah has a perfect life. Like, get over it.
Yeah.
So we are comparing our lives to somebody's highlight reel. You know, they're only showing you the highlight reel, and we're living this B reel, you know, and everybody lives a B reel. They only show you the highlight reel. So stop comparing and love your life. And appreciate what you have. And think, I mean, if what you have disappeared tomorrow, how brokenhearted would you be? Love what you have in the moment, like now. You know, at this time of, you know, the world has never seen the likes of what we're seeing right now. But if you can still find things to be grateful for, then you will have more things to be grateful for. Oprah says that too. Celebrate your life so you'll have more things in life to celebrate. It doesn't say be miserable about what's happening so you'll have more things in your life to celebrate. No. So we look for the good what I do is before I go to bed every night, either I write it down or if I'm too tired, I just lie there and I thank the Creator for every little blessing of that day. Even if it was just, I just moved back to Chicago. So I'm living with my cousin right now. I haven't gotten my own place. And she makes me green drink in the morning. I mean, even if it's just being grateful for my green drink. Oh, it's empty now. I was going to show it to you, but I already drank it. Do you know, just all of the things that you're grateful for. And not only that will that bring you better sleep, but it'll bring you a lot more to be grateful for.
And it's healing. You know, sweet. Gratitude is a very high state. It's a very high frequency. And it turns on switches in the body that are natural healing switches, right? And it raises you out of those heavy states where you can't see a solution. You don't have the energy to change and all of that. I know that when I first started learning that whole concept, like just be grateful, it was one of those tweaks in perception that I really stumbled on because I think people do still. It's like, oh, fine. You just have to be happy with what you got. Just be happy with what you got. Don't be wanting more type of thing.
Oh, no.
And yeah, can you make that distinction that, you know, there is a path that unfolds when you're learning this stuff. Where does the ego stop? Where do you let go and be in the present? Just be grateful for things. Where does that, I need to achieve, you know, this is what's going to make me successful. That definition of success is. And how do you free yourself from that? Because it sometimes feels like, you know, that stern schoolmaster or that angry parent going, well, you just be grateful for what you have, right?
Well, I do have to say one of the, do you know who Byron Katie, who I love Byron Katie. So she wrote the book, Loving What Is. And one time I was with her, this is right after The Secret came out, and we were together in Chicago, and I had set up a talk for her, and it was great back in the when was The Secret, 97, 2000, I don't even remember.
I don't anyway, remember.
So somebody in the audience said to her, what is the difference between what you teach and The Secret? And she said, honey, The Secret teaches that you can have exactly what you want. And I teach that you can want exactly what you have. And what's so beautiful about that is that she also says, you know, there are no mistakes in the universe. And so what you have right now, you can't say, oh, I shouldn't have this. I should have more. Well, how do you know you shouldn't have more? Because you don't. Argue with reality and you will always lose. So the first thing that we do have to do is the basis to success is love what is. And I'll tell you, I'll give you another little piece of energy medicine. This is one of my favorite techniques that my friend Terry Britt, do you know Terry Britt? Terry Britt is, she was Miss USA from Arkansas like decades ago, and she's now a brilliant spiritual teacher. And she says that the crown of your head is your direct connection to God and the universe. And when you're in fear or any lower emotion, like anger or jealousy or greed, then what happens is that the crown shuts down. And the result is that you disconnect from receiving guidance and healing. But if when you're feeling shut down, you imagine your crown like a camera lens opening. So you just take a deep breath. People could do it right now. And just put your attention on the top of your head. Take a deep breath. And all you have to do is imagine your crown opening like a camera lens, and then feel the light of God flood through your entire being. Breathe that in. Open the crown like a camera lens. Allow that light of God, the light of grace, to come in. Feel every fiber of your being. Breathe it in. And what I have found that when I first learned this from her, when I first started doing this tool, I would have to do it 20, 30 times a day to stay open. But what I found is that the more that I do it, now the crown pretty much stays open. And also when we want to get messages from God, we got to keep that crown open because, you know, I always think it's so funny when people say, Neil Donald Walsh got messages from God. Like, oh, come on, guys, give me a break. Like, you get messages from God every minute of every day. You think God only talks to Neil Donald Walsh? I like the guy, but Get real. The difference between him and you is that he sat down at his typewriter and wrote it all out. You can do the same thing. And we keep that energy open. And another way we open it is not only with the camera lens, but we keep our heart open because that's another place where energy comes in is through the heart center by sending other people wishes for their success and prosperity. So it could come through here, it could come through here. But when we open up those channels and then we ask, one of the techniques that I am very fond of and I teach in all my seminars is what I call sitting for guidance. And that is sit down, open that, and ask God, what do you want me to know today? Do you know that in Think and Grow Rich that Napoleon Hill talks about that? He calls it sitting for ideas. And he said he never started a day without saying, he would write on the paper, okay, God, what are you and I going to create today? And he said it was like one of the great keys to his success. So I say whatever question you need an answer to, like how do I differentiate between loving what is and moving forward? You know the answer to that. You wouldn't have the question if you didn't have the answer. Mm-hmm. So you open up that channel and you sit down and you write and you will get the answer because let me tell you, God wants to speak to you as much as God wants to speak to Neil Donald Walsh. And the last thing I'll say about this is that when you do appreciate what you do have, it in no way means that you shouldn't move forward or set goals. My whole Yes to Success program, not the whole thing, but a majority of it is we set goals. We set lifetime goals, 5-year goals, 1-year goals, 1-month goals, weekly goals. We are like goal crazy in Yes to Success, but we also remember to love what is because you have no guarantees that you are even going to wake up tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So love what is, and that is the truth. I just had a friend who passed away Saturday morning.
Oh,
he was
funny.
Fine. On Monday, he started feeling a little bit yucky on Tuesday and Wednesday. He went into the hospital on Friday and he died on Saturday from COVID. No warning. So appreciate what you have. Love what is. Go hug up your kids, your partner, your kitty cats, your doggies. Do something kind to your neighbor. Do you know at this, another thing I love about this time, somebody said that what's going on in our world right now, yes, there is the pandemic of the coronavirus, but there's also a pandemic of compassion. There's so many people doing random acts of kindness for one another. And if you're feeling scared, if you're feeling anxiety right now, the best way to move out of it is, again, ask, is everything okay right now? And if you just had your dinner or your lunch and you have a roof over your head and you're listening to this on your smartphone or your computer, you are better off than 90% of the people on this planet. So we have very little to complain about, right? And I was going to say something else and I lost my train of thought, but it was, I know what it was. It was that when you do a random act of kindness, it increases the oxytocin, which is the feel-good hormone. There's been so many studies done, but this is a really cool part, Nan. not only when you do a random act of kindness, you know, pick up groceries for your elderly neighbor, or early on in the pandemic, I sent candles to a bunch of friends of mine that had words on them like faith, trust, hope, love. And I just said, thinking of you, sent them out, you know, just do things like that. But not only doing random acts of kindness increase the oxytocin, watching people do random acts of kindness. That's why it's so cool. Don't go watching the news, because the news just completely contracts you. It makes you go into that place of doom and gloom where you are no good for anybody. It just catastrophizes everything. And the more we believe it, the more we're creating it. But go on the YouTube and watch all of the wonderful acts of compassion that people are doing. That increases your oxytocin level, and it makes you happier. It relieves depression. It helps you sleep better. And doing random acts of kindness, or even, get this, there's a study done at the National Institutes of Health by a researcher. His last name was Moll, M-O-L-L. Just thinking about doing a random act of kindness increases your oxytocin level, and it decreases your cortisol, which is the stress hormone. So just thinking about doing something nice for somebody else makes your cortisol, the stress hormone, go down. So
I love it. That's so good. Well, so one more thing I would love for you to share, because right now with the breakdown, the breakthrough, the pandemic, the quarantine, whatever level of it you think is happening, it's a pause, it's a cleanse, it's a reboot for all of us. And a lot of people might feel like, well, I was successful and I'm not happy doing that anymore. I've shifted, I've changed. Maybe you've gone on your spiritual path, maybe you've just outgrown it, or you've learned what you needed to learn from it. Or maybe because of the pandemic, you've been shut in, you're rethinking, or maybe you lost your job or whatever you did before doesn't look like it's gonna be possible, like cruise ships or something. Yeah. For a while, right? And so this is part of the metamorphosis, I think, that we're in, is that people are coming. You don't have to go through this sense of, oh, destitute, you know, to go from one definition of success to another. And if you've been successful at something, I know you have a personal story of being willing to leave at the peak of success when most people would just, what are you doing? Because you've developed this inner voice, right? This inner guidance that, hey, wait a minute, this isn't fun anymore, or I'm bored.
Yes. Okay. So here's the deal. One of the things that I want to say to people, like a lot of teachers say, you know, leap and the net will appear. I'm not that kind of a teacher. I say, especially when you have three kids and mouths to feed, you know, if we have a passion, something that we love to do, this might be the time to start doing it if you've lost your other way that you're going to make money. But I would say be systematic about it. But here's the deal. If you know something that makes your heart sing, like I have a friend who became an attorney who always wanted to be an English teacher. So now what he's doing is he's applying to, and he has a Harvard degree, but he became an attorney. That's what his family wanted him to do. So now what he's doing is he's taking online courses to become an English teacher, right? So this is a great time to reboot, all right? But I would say that what you have to do is you have to make sure that not a day goes by that you don't take at least one step closer to the new goal, to the new dream. And you also, if you do leave your relationship or your job, or, and I know that you were referring to my story with Marcy Shymoff, that I had, well, just very quickly, for those of listening who don't know this, I had a company called Yes to Success. It was hugely successful. As we said before, I had a lot of teachers who went on to become famous transformational leaders. And I left it lock, stock, and barrel, just gave it up. I was about to have my own daytime TV talk show. My book was in the hands of a major New York publishing house. And I gave it up when my daughter was born, because I just teach people to follow your heart. And my heart was now with this little baby. And I thought, if I stay teaching success and traveling around the world and go and having my TV show that they wanted me to get up at 5:30 in the morning, when my heart was, I mean, I didn't want to leave my baby to go to the bathroom. I believe that my authenticity meter would have been way over in the negative range. So I left my company and I became a mom at home. And there I stayed for 21 years because my son was born 3 years later. And people say, did you go out of your mind? And I said, absolutely. Right out of my mind, right into my heart. And if you have a decision to make about what you're going to do next, again, sit for guidance. It's just spontaneous writing, but also stop using your rational thinking mind, okay? Allow yourself to think from your heart. And that's what I did. And here's the other thing. If you were put on earth for a purpose, all right? And nobody can do what you were put on earth to do. And your purpose, maybe now is the time that you're going to dive into it, like my friend who is becoming an English teacher. But it's not that you won't be afraid, but you are going to be afraid if you take a leap, but it's not because it's the wrong dream. You're going to be afraid if it's the right dream, you see? Because we have to be committed to dreams that are bigger than ourselves. I remember Lisa Nichols would always talk about how Martin Luther King, how his mission was so big that he was afraid and he spoke to God and he said, I can't do this. This is bigger than me. And then God said to Martin Luther King in his heart, I will give you everything you need. March on, Martin. And he did because he was more committed to his dream, or what I like to call your divine assignment, than he was to his fear. So when you have a fear about what you're going to do next, the fear, it's not telling what you can't do. It's telling you what you can do. And the only thing you could do is say to that fear, you have no power over me. You know, Lisa Nichols says, and add to that, I am the designer of my destiny, not you. And you could say, you know, if you're thinking, yes, I hear what you're saying, but I don't really believe I could do this, whether it's, you know, starting a new business or even, you know, moving to another town or leaving a relationship. I don't believe I could do this. I hear you, but you're right. You can't do it. But here's the deal. You're not doing it. There's a higher power that's working through you. And if your dream burns in your heart, that's because you're supposed to move on it. You will never be given an assignment without being given everything you need by the Creator to fulfill that assignment. The Creator is not a trickster. The Creator is not going to say, well, here's what you have to do, but ha, 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 I'm not going to give you the ability or the resources to do it. Ain't going to happen. And really, I mean, I have had and you just want to listen to your intuition. I've had thousands of students say, I listened to that intuition. And even though it seems scary, everything magically turned out okay. I never had one student who said, I listened to my intuition and damn, I wish I hadn't because it turned out as a mess. Never, ever once.
Yeah. And you were in a business with Marcy, right? And it was very, very successful when you decided, nope, not for me anymore.
That's right. I did it again. I tend to be a leaper. And you know why I'm a leaper? I'm a leaper because I'm a truster. Mm. I do believe that you know, that expression, all I have seen allows me to believe in all I have not seen. I mean, if the Creator can create a rose, if the Creator can create, you know, from a little sperm and a little egg, a person who's now a chiropractor, you know, the Creator can help you fulfill your dreams. You just have to trust that the universe has your back. Give thanks for, we don't just give thanks for the good things in life. We give thanks for the obstacles too. Because if you go, why did this happen to me? It closes you off from anything better to come. But if you give thanks even for the things that don't look so good, then that opening for something even greater will be created and it will come to you. So what happened was that Marcy, who we know used to be my secretary when I first started out, I took the 21 years off to be home with my kids, which was a blast. You know, you just get to relive your childhood only with awareness because you still you go to the games and you go to the plays and you go to Chuck E. Cheese and you, but you know, there's now awareness. It's fun. And, but when I decided to come back out and start speaking again and giving seminars, Marcy just grabbed me and said, I have this idea. Let's put together a year-long program to help people create miraculous lives, women create miraculous lives. And we were thinking, should we call it Your Year of Miracles or Your Miraculous Year or something like that? So we came up with Your Year of Miracles. We started it from scratch. We didn't know what the hell we were doing, but the idea came to us. So we knew that we were supposed to manifest it. And for 5 years, I taught Your Year of Miracles and we built it into, I mean, the first year we did a $1 million launch, but every year it got bigger and bigger and bigger. But long about the fourth or fifth year, I feel like I told you this already, but maybe I did. The fourth
year. You told me before we started recording.
Oh, that was it. It sounded so familiar. Around the fourth or fifth year, I just felt like I wasn't bounding on a bed because I had a purpose and something that lit me up. Because we created all the content in the first 3 years. And I love creating content. You know, I'm a downloader. So the content comes to me from God and then I teach it. And we had all those downloads, both of us. We created this amazing course the first year. We refined it the second year, further refined it the third year. But then it was so good that we didn't want to touch it because people were having such great results. But for me, it wasn't fun anymore. So I left. And people were like, how can you leave? There was like, you know, this franchise that was growing and growing. And I said, how could I stay when I teach people to be true to themselves? I would be a big, bad imposter. And that is not what I want to be. I want to be the teacher who lives the teaching because you know what, Nan, you know this as well as I do. People, if you are saying one thing and being another, people can smell it a mile away. We might have been able to get away with that years ago, but no more. We could watch somebody on a podcast or on a show like this or up on the stage, and if they're not coherent or congruent, we can smell it a mile away. I didn't want to be that person. And so I left. And I'll tell you one other great principle of success. We call this energy medicine too. When you do what's best for yourself, it will always be what's best for everybody else. People think, really? Could that really be true? Yes, it is true. And I remember when I came to Marcy and I said, I want to move on. She's like, no, you can't move on. You're the only person who can do this with me. I said, Marce, remember what we teach people. When you do what's best for yourself, it will always be what's best for everybody else. So if I do what's best for me, which is to go back and teach Yes to Success again, because that's what I was getting all of the downloads for, it will be what's best for you and your Year of Miracles. And she's like, no, I know it works, but not here. You know, she was so adorable. You know, you just got to squeeze her. But anyway, so I said, okay, let me think about it. I came back. I said, nope, I'm sticking to my guns. And I promise you, if we live our teaching, if we do what's best for ourselves, if I do what's best for myself, it's going to be what's best for you. I left, and who takes my place? The amazing Dr. Sue Mortar and the amazing Lisa Garr, two for the price of one. And your Year of Miracles is just continuing to grow and flourish. And Marcy is thrilled. She loves her two new partners. And I get to go and teach Yes to Success again, and which is my first love. And I'm telling you, the downloads are coming fast and furious, like what I'm supposed to be teaching for people to move their lives ahead and have their ultimately successful life. And I, all the tried and true things that I taught when Marcy was my student, and Jen was my student, and Deepak was my student, and still have those in there, but now also new information to how to create true success, ultimate success in 2020.
Yeah. And it's a completely different world right now. than it has ever been before. So, well, good. So share with us what your free gift is going to be. I know you're going to share a nice book with us.
Yes. When I took my hiatus from teaching Yes to Success for decades, there are still people like, I loved Yes to Success. You know, can't you write a book? Can't you write a book? Can't you write a book? And I didn't, never did. But I did in 1986, but that's history because then my daughter was born in 88. But I decided that what I was going to do is take the five most important principles of how to create a successful life and put it in an ebook. So that's what I did. And it's called The Five Secrets to a Life of True Success. And it's a quick read. You could read the whole thing in 20 minutes, but because I really distilled the essence and easy, practical things that you could do to just have a life that you love and be the person that you could look in the mirror and love the person you see. It's all in there. And that's what I want to give to your people.
Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you. So wherever you're watching or listening to this, there'll be a link there to get all the information about Deborah and her and the ebook. Well, oh, this is so fun. We could just keep chatting, but what would you like to leave us with as we close?
Oh, wow. Okay. Let me just think, go inside for a second. You know what is coming to me is, it's a quote from Amaji, you know, the hugging saint, mm-hmm. where she said, at this time, the most important thing that we could do is cling to our spiritual practices so that when the world shakes, we will remain unshakable.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
When I just asked what is the most important thing for people to do right now, don't put your spiritual practices on the back burner. This is the time. Learn meditation, do your yoga, do your breathing practice. If it's drumming, if it's walking a labyrinth, if it's doing your rosary, if it's prayer, whatever it is, make that your priority, not only for your life, but for the world, because so many people are meditating right now. And one of my favorite meditations, Sri Sri Ravi Shankar, the founder of The Art of Living, he does meditations twice a day. I always go on those. Mother Meera, the lady who gives darshan through her eyes every day at 12 noon Central Time, she gives darshan. There's so many ways to get yourself centered. And it's just really clear that that's what I'm supposed to share. Make sure you do something that creates inner silence every day. And that's how you'll be able to contribute to the world.
Perfect. Thank you. Ah, I love that. I can feel it. I've seen Mother Meera a few times in person. It's this really another amazing thing that's happening right now is that so many of these wonderful spiritual guides are doing these live streams and doing these videos. I know you'll like this, so I'm going to share this with you. One of my speakers was Mitten, Deva Pramal's partner.
Mitten, Deva Pramal and Mitten. Yeah. I love that episode.
My gosh, he's incredible. And he said, he didn't know who said it, but he said, don't waste a good crisis. And so I thought you would love that too. And, you know, they're doing something live every day. They're up to 50, 60 some days now in a row. And so that whole idea that you gave us about give what you have to give, you know, do something kind for somebody, wish. We've got everything from comedians and talk show hosts to musicians to spiritual leaders giving themselves daily or a few times a week live to support us, to create some kind of structure. And it's one of the reasons I did this was I realized that even though I'd been very insular for a while too, because of my life, that we have to create a network. We have to have that there isn't a lot of spiritual leadership. There wasn't in the beginning, even from religions. You know, the Catholic Church wasn't speaking up. A lot of that wasn't happening. And so this is where we have an opportunity to connect in a community like this to connect with people who are giving into the world, because they're doing exactly what you were talking about. They're living their life of ultimate success. They're living a life doing what they're designed to do and gifting it to the world and not worrying about getting paid or overgiving or overworking. They're being in the moment and following that inner inspiration of, this is what I'm meant to do now. So
yes, and I want to thank you for bringing so many amazing people. Our mutual friend Ellen Davidson was part of this series, and oh my goodness, it's such a fantastic series, and it's an honor to be a part of it. And I am so happy that we connected. Again, it's been, I don't know, 8, 9 years. I don't know exactly how long since I interviewed you, but I've always wanted to reconnect with you again, because you were just so dear, and you still are. So thank you for what you're contributing to the world. You're like an angel.
Oh, thank you, sweetie.
You're so precious. Thank you. Such a beautiful heart.
Well, thank you for gifting us this, and I'm so excited that you're coming back with your own thing again, and I know that it's just going to explode around the world. So keep an eye on Deborah, keep an eye on my community as well. We're going to share when Deborah comes out with everything new, and thank you for spending this time with us. All right. So thank you, everyone. Let's take a moment and breathe deeply in. Whatever energy or word or feeling or idea came to you that was the most powerful from Deborah today, just breathe that into your heart and let it expand. Let it take root. Let it seed there and spread through your body. And go ahead and feel it coming down your hands and your feet, and out the top of your head, through your crown. And just keep letting that idea expand, that excitement, that energy, that idea that you create your success, and that ultimate success is that well-being. And now just feel it coming out of you so much. Start to watch and sense as it emanates into the room, into the building, out through any people in the building, into the ground, and it spreads out through your city, down into the earth and the crystals and the waters, and down all the way to the core of Gaia. And feel this spreading out from you, you being the transformer and the amplifier of this energy, of this inspiration, of this shift, of this awakening, this doorway that's opened within you today. And you're doing that. You're wishing and sending and sharing and amplifying this. Just let it go out. Don't worry where it goes. Just gift it. And gift it back to your ancestors, out through all your lives, up through all the parts of your light body. Now just relax and feel and watch how together we've sent this energy out, and everybody's is a little different. And all of the people, all of the places that are healing, that are resting, that are rebooting, that are trying to figure out what's next, relaxing and receiving this gift. Then just take a nice breath and touch your heart, breathe it in, anchor it into your body. And as you do that, feel how it's sinking deep into your cells and settling in a whole new whisper, a whole new frequency. And then accept that and feel that love and compassion that now in this moment, I am ready and willing and open and receptive to the guidance and the support, the love and the creativity. Everything I need is here for me to step out into the unknown and into real, true soul level success. So feel that and realize that with every breath and every step you take today, with every touch, whether it's to yourself, to your food, or to another person, if you're lucky enough to get to touch someone right now, that every thought, every look is going to emanate this energy. And this is not just like, I'm going to make it happen. This is true energy coming from the inner part of your source, coming from that awakening that you're going through. I know that you're going to have an amazing aha today, in the next minute, in the next week. So share this with everyone you can think of so we can all say yes to our own personal ultimate success, a true definition of success, not chasing, not pushing, but accepting and loving who we are, dropping into the moment, and really developing, enjoying, and acknowledging with gratitude that deep well-being. Thank you, everyone. Have a beautiful and blessed day. Namaste.